All right, now what? Welcome to the Educated Guest Podcast. I'm your host, Caesar Does It.
Right there is where you would have done it. Not before then.
Okay. So why don't we just record an episode right now, motherfucker?
Let's do it.
You want to talk shit?
Let's do it. All right. So we already have an intro. What's on your mind, Caesar?
Yo, so we already started our second semester. Those of you who are into teaching and whatnot, which is probably almost nobody.
All 80 of you.
Shit's already getting hot and heavy and deep in the educational world. We got so much to talk about with you today. Where shall we start? Where shall we start? Do we start with education?
I don't know. You tell me.
All right, so check it out. You like the NBA. You don't watch the NFL. Hella woke motherfucker over here. You like the NBA. So talk to me about what happened with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Aren't you like a LeBron fan?
You better watch yourself. Watch yourself. I am not a LeBron fan.
That is your boy, A+.
Nah, fam. I was a Kobe guy from the jump. I'm a Jordan guy first. Then Kobe came in. It's been a Kobe guy. I've never liked how the NBA has kind of turned this dude into some sort of deity. Don't like it. Although he is a better person than Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was a piece of shit.
Once you say although, it negates everything that you said before about the guy. So basically you think LeBron should be the darling of the NBA.
No, he is the darling of the NBA. He's a piece of shit, though. He ain't that good. He good. The boy good. The boy bad.
So just for full disclosure, I am a lifelong Laker fan. Whether they had Kobe Bryant, Shaq, who, I don't care. My favorite player of all time is Cap, who's going to be here at the end of the month. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar will be in San Diego promoting his new book, and he's going to have signing and all that. I'm trying to get out to that. But
Luol Cinder is the man.
Peep it. So cats that are talking about how Kobe was a bad teammate and how nobody wanted to go to play in L.A. with Kobe towards the end of his career were probably somewhat right. But, yo, your man LeBron is done. He's blown up the Cavs. Yes,
yeah,
sir?
Yeah. I saw a meme today of Kyrie Irving laughing, just saying he's dead. He got out of there right on time, bruh. Got out of there right on time. Then I saw another meme, the good old fashioned meme of the Simpsons. Grandpa Simpson walking through Moe's Tavern and then walking right around, like leaving his hat there
and walking out.
But it was IT space. It covered it and grabbing a Lakers hat and then going out.
Because what they only
it
say,
looks like IT's probably going to go to the Lakers, but I don't know.
Okay, don't so know. You really aren't following it, and that's fine. You're not like addicted to sports. I get it, but IT is a Laker.
Oh, he is now.
He is a Laker. They made a. You just really haven't seen it?
I haven't.
You should probably look at your phone.
I saw.
You should probably go to Twitter.
Did this happen last night?
This happened like two nights ago, bro.
Oh.
They blew up the Cavaliers.
Oh, no way. I need more tequila. I definitely need more tequila or less tequila. Depends on how you look at it.
So IT is a Laker.
Oh, wow.
But
okay.
He probably won't be re-signed.
Okay, so who did they give up? Who did the Lakers give up?
They gave up. Ooh, now you got me. They gave up Jordan Clarkson.
Okay.
and Larry Nance Jr.
Okay, and they were on the block for a bit.
Right, right, and so was
which I'm not. I mean, they didn't really do. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
And so the word on the street with the Lakers fans is that they're gonna let IT go, and they're gonna clear enough space to sign two, maybe three max contracts for next year.
Wow.
Yeah. Now I don't really follow Isaiah Thomas too much, so I don't know what his game is like. They say he's a liability on the defensive side of things.
Yeah, I've seen that. He doesn't play very good D.
All right, but let's.
He made his name playing in Boston and having a gutsy performance in the playoffs last year. Correct. Correct.
Yes.
But he hasn't really done. I mean, he got injured, and then hasn't really done much for the Cavs, except for smack people around, right?
Yeah, they got rid of Jay Crowder in the Cavaliers. They got rid of who did they send? They sent Dwayne Wade back to the Heat.
No shit, do they really?
You really have not been watching. Oh, you don't be watching SportsCenter or anything.
No, I don't. I'm like, I'm reading or doing something.
They sent Dwayne Wade back to the Heat.
Oh my goodness.
I think the only ones that are still there are like Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith, along with LeBron and Kevin Love. Okay, so those four dudes remained, and they sent like, I don't know, like four or five dudes away. they sent a pick. The Lakers got, I want to say, a second round pick out of this, but they just sent shit everywhere throughout the league, bro. They blew it up.
Wow. Thanks, Tyronn Lue.
Your man Kyrie Irving knew what he was getting into, what he was doing.
He got the best out of that deal, huh? Because they're number one in the East.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's good. Shit is real. Like Shaquille. I love it.
I'm gonna let that ride. I'm not gonna edit that out. So you just haven't been paying attention. So talking sports with you is not appropriate right now.
No, it could be. I mean, it depends on historical data and some of the college basketball stuff. That's all I've really been kind of following.
Okay.
And I did not watch the NFL. I did not watch the Super Bowl. So Monday was kind of a weird space where I was like, oh, that's cool.
You're hearing all the people talk about it.
I guess it was a good game.
I guess.
Did you not watch it?
I watched bits and pieces of it.
That motherfucker, yeah, you watched the shit.
I watched bits and pieces.
With your vegan nacho cheese and shit.
Oh, you talking shit? Now, I cared about halftime because I knew that Nike and Jordan were going to be releasing a special shoe. And so I was right there.
You're a sneakerhead.
I was right there. Yeah, for context, people listening, those kids that have had me as a teacher, they know your man's rocks dope sneakers. So Nike and Jordan were releasing a special shoe during halftime. I guess Justin Timberlake helped Tinker Hatfield, who's one of the main designers for Jordan, helped him come up with a special shoe. It's basically an Air Jordan 3. The kind I just showed you.
Yes.
An Air Jordan 3 that has a Nike swoosh on the sides. It's also got signatures in the tongue. One is Tinker Hatfield. One is Justin Timberlake.
No one gives a fuck.
I give a fuck. So I wanted that. They only made 500 pairs.
Oh, okay.
They only made 500 pairs. So if you bought one for $200 a pop, if you got lucky, then you could have made 10 times that. So it was immediately on auction for upwards of $2,000.
Really?
Yeah. So
sneakerheads were on it.
They were. I mean, 500 pairs worldwide is not a lot, Rodrigo. You know, so
yeah, I recognize that, but I don't give a fuck.
So yeah, I cared about halftime.
I thought you were like super cared about like how Justin Timberlake was going to perform and shit. I thought that was your man's. With him going back to the woods or whatever the fuck he's doing, right? Because that's...
Yeah, he's been getting drugged lately through the internet.
The Twitters. Them Twitters has been just like...
Them Twitters. Hashtag Black Twitter. They on him.
I think we should record some of this with Andrew A. Plus Spire because he is also a Laker fan.
Yo, let's talk basketball with your man, A+.
Tonight?
A graduate of...
The wonderful University of San Diego State.
I was thinking more of his high school.
Bonita Vista High School.
Oh.
Whose principal was Ramon Leyva.
Oh. Who will be on the podcast.
At some point in the near future.
A recent retiree.
Anyways, what we were thinking was this. This is what I was thinking about this morning. I actually was thinking about this. I want to do a retired episode.
Okay.
Of people who just want to talk shit. Get it off their chest. So who else could we involve other than Leyva? I was thinking about Ernie Zamudio.
I don't know the guy.
I do.
You do?
I kind of do.
Breaking the Cavs trade, J.R. Smith.
Is this new? Is this like right now?
For a year of free Wendy's nuggets.
Piece of shit. The interwebs are beautiful.
Oh.
I think we should have a segment of our show in which we just go through our timeline on Twitter.
Cavs
and just
first,
read shit.
Cavs first practice after the trade deadline. In a single file line, boys, start with your first and last name and a fun fact about you. Bruh, the internet never rests, bro. Never rests. Wow. So they have traded for George Hill, Rodney Hood, Jordan Clarkson, and Larry Nance. Who have they traded away? Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, Channing Frye, Iman Shumpert, and their first round pick.
Wow, that's a lot.
Fall back.
That's a lot. They gave up a lot.
Yo.
I don't know much about much. I know they gave up a lot.
Yo, it's
that's booty.
Yo, man, it's almost like I'm their GM on a Friday night, right? I'm fucking lit, bro. I'm drunk as fuck.
This is a very much a fantasy league trade. That was like, oh, fuck.
And I call up Dan Gilbert. I'm like, fuck these little motherfuckers. They're all fighting. We're going to trade them all. And he's like, what does Dan say back?
All right.
You better just don't trade LeBron, bro.
Just don't. Hey, LeBron's staying. He can't go anywhere else.
Should I call LeBron and ask him?
Nah, fuck it. Just trade him.
Dan's lit too, right?
Dan's probably hung over, doesn't want to deal with it, because this call is happening at 10 o'clock in the morning, for sure. Both Isaiah Thomas and, no, not Isaiah Thomas, Tyronn Lue, probably doesn't even know. They probably stopped Tyronn Lue in the parking lot, and they were like, yo, you can't come into the arena. I'm the head coach.
Yo.
Who the fuck are you? Where are your credentials? My name's Tyronn Lue. I'm the head coach. Wait, who? Tyronn Lue. Wait, who?
said.
And then they go, and then you know what Tyronn Lue has to do? He has to pull out his phone and goes, look, this video. And he shows him the video of Iverson stepping over him. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're that guy?
That guy.
Piece of shit.
I want that t-shirt. Somebody made a t-shirt of that. It's not too difficult. But, yeah, so I was teaching. I was opening up for fifth period on Wednesday, and my kids came in because they know I'm a big Lakers fan. Yo, did you hear about the trades? I'm just like, wow, you guys are playing around. And they showed me the Twitter feed, and I was like, what? It was exciting. It was exciting to watch.
It was exciting to watch.
Yeah.
I've never been a fan. Oh, so, again, going back to this whole deification of fucking LeBron. I've never been a fan of him. I didn't like the whole the show he put up about I'm gonna take my talents to South Beach. Fuck you, piece of shit. Should have just stuck around.
That's the first time we saw something like that on ESPN.
It was ridiculous. And you know what? Hindsight, he even said it was probably a stupid decision. You know what? You're a piece of shit. So ever since then, actually, I didn't like him when he was in fucking St. Mary's. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't feeling it. All the love he was getting, he's the next Jordan. Everybody in my generation is like, there's never going to be another Jordan. Go fuck yourself. The closest thing to Jordan is who? Kobe.
I also didn't like the parade before the rings. Right? Who liked that one? We going to get 6, 7, 8 rings up in this bitch, y'all. On stage, sitting on a stool. I didn't like it.
I don't like it. You stick with the team. Ups and downs.
So, anywho's. That was big news this week for me.
That was very big news. I'm upset that I did not know. I'm disappointed in myself. I should at least... But this is what happened. No, so this is the reason.
Uh-huh.
On my Facebook page, I follow Laker Nation.
Okay.
So, usually I get updates on that. But since I've deleted Facebook off my phone, I haven't seen that shit. So, it looks like I have to get them on them... Twitters.
Can you talk about why you deleted Facebook off your phone?
Yeah. So I just felt like I was too involved. And then getting upset at seeing stupid people's feeds.
Okay.
You know that feeling.
I do know that feeling.
And so
I have some idiots on my Facebook feed. Actually, idiots.
Terry and I were talking about this, and he was just like, he was going through his feed, and he was just like, fucking piece of shit. Just like yelling at his phone. I'm like, yo, that's not healthy. what are you doing? And it just prompted me to kind of go, yeah, I'm spending way too much time being upset about stupid stuff that other people are posting. It's not relevant. Outros.
Somebody probably took like, you know, a little crop of a Twitter post that made its way around all of the internet that said something to the effect of, hi, I'm somebody that you went to high school with, but you don't know. How are you doing? Here's a racist post. I literally have that guy on my Facebook feed.
Yeah, I do not. And so I think I weeded those guys out after the election. I was like, oh, yeah, anyone who was supporting Trump at that time, I was like, yeah, we're not friends.
See, I don't – this is just me. I don't believe in pruning my Facebook friends list. I think, I don't know. I just don't. I just don't. If I added you for whatever reason back in the days when nobody was really using Facebook and people were just barely finding each other in this fucking magical moment or whatever, I've kept you. You know what I'm saying? I've kept you. There's a couple
in
of
the kingdom of Caesar.
Exactly, exactly. So I just do battle with this one dude, and I have been for like 5 years. And people that are my real friends in life have, some of them have said, "Yo, I get a kick out of it when you fucking talk shit on that guy's
real
post."
Friends, IRL, huh? In real life.
Yeah, you know, like I said, this guy's like, I never knew him in high school, but he's just some fucking racist prick that lives in like Murrieta now. You know what I mean? So
victory. Anywho's, see, I don't like investing that much energy into that kind of like. I wouldn't. I have better things to do.
I got one real friend that I did cut. That I did. I didn't remove him from Facebook, but he texted me and I texted him back and I let him know that you're supporting Trump, homie. Fuck you,
piece of shit.
Yo, when I first became a teacher in 2000. I lived with this dude. I lived with this dude in El Cajon. Yeah, I lived in his house. Half white, half Mexican dude, but he identified more with his white side. Even though his mom and his uncles had all lived nearby, there's all like full on like Mexican. Anywho's. This fool tells me, before Trump gets elected, I'm voting for Trump because maybe I can make some money translating off of the building of the wall. He literally texted me.
And he wasn't joking.
And I text him back.
Which is a shitty joke, by the way.
It's a shitty joke. But I don't think he was joking because he's not that clever. I literally text him back, go fuck yourself, tío Taco. That's what I... And for those of you not privy, and I don't think you're privy, Rodrigo, because you're too young.
I've heard of that.
Tío Taco is the Uncle Tom.
Uncle Tom, yeah.
So, and then he just texts back, okay. And I haven't heard from him since. Anywho's. So.
Cool story.
Cool story, bro.
Cool story, bro.
This is the episode where we just talk shit back and forth.
This is one of those. We haven't had a shit talking session in a long time. So we need it. We've been doing some really quality episodes. But every now and then we have to mix in some nonsense.
Absolutely. It's been a tough semester.
It's fucking February.
I know. And you know what?
I got a text from someone that said, fuck, this is the longest year yet. It's February. Yeah. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. For those of you new to the podcast, I teach high school here in Chula Vista, San Diego. I love my job. I love the teaching of the kids. That's not the stressful part. That's actually the part that feeds me. I am also my union treasurer. I'm the union treasurer, 2,000 unit members. So we're a pretty large teachers union. And so I am called in to do a lot of meetings here and there, whether they be meetings for the union or just to represent members that may or may not be in some kind of trouble. And that's taxing work. I believe in everything that the union stands for, and I believe in teachers having a voice in what happens in our district. It's just taxing when motherfuckers be fucking up.
I love it. Tell them, please, because it's cool. I mean, we could do this stuff. I appreciate everything the union does.
You don't want me to call you out. So,
but I'm not a dues paying member. You know what
you
I'm
just
saying?
Found out. Rodrigo just found out that he is not a dues paying member. He's what we call an agency fee payer. He has no protections. Should I say that on the podcast?
I don't think anybody listens to this. You know, all 7 of our subscribers have varying levels of experience. Although I would be upset if what was that?
That was me.
Don't do that. Don't hit the mic.
Yo, there's a story about this watch. I'll tell you in a minute. Watch hitting the mic.
What's the story?
Okay,
now you got to go there.
So I feel naked if I don't have a watch on. So I always own a watch or two. I actually own about 3 of them, but the dials are broken on some of them. So anyways, I had to buy this watch like quickly because I didn't have one that worked. And I saw it on sale on one of my fucking websites I love called Slick Deals. Shout out to slickdeals.net. It's an Invicta watch. And it literally cost me probably like $60 to get it shipped here. It's done. Right? What do you think? It's just a regular looking watch, right?
It's got a scratch in it.
What?
It's got a giant scratch on the corner.
So, yeah, because I bang my, you know, I hit my wrist up against things, you know, sometimes.
Stop.
That's how the other ones break. Stop. So, check it out. Three different people, three different occasions have said, oh, man, is that a Rolex?
And you're like, nah, it's an Invicta. They're like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. I'm like, no, it's an Invicta. And I go, wait a minute. So the third person I say, so is this thing look a lot like a Rolex or what? Yeah, it looks exactly like a Rolex.
So you got a bootleg Rolex watch.
I got a wannabe watch, bro. I thought Invicta was a legit brand. I think they just make a bunch of like lookalikes.
That's cool. If you into that shit.
So peep it. I'm not into that shit. I hate wannabe shit. So it's bothering me. Now.
This is the kind of watch I would wear when I was in seventh grade and shit, though.
For the first time in a long time, I have a student teacher this semester.
Oh, word?
Yeah, I have a student teacher.
So you're just hanging out in the back?
No. No, I'm doing the teaching. She won't exactly start teaching until after spring break.
Although, until I let her fucking touch the kids.
Right? You know what I mean? Until I feel she's safe. Nah, but she's helping out here and there, and she is doing a small amount of instructing. But check this out. Somehow it comes up that she works at a fine watch store in La Jolla.
Okay.
So I tell her the story I just told you all about the watch, and she starts laughing, and she goes, yeah. She goes, it is a wannabe Rolex.
You're like, fuck that. I don't want a wannabe Rolex. She might How even, can you help me out?
She, it might even be a, it's a poor copy of a Rolex, is I think what she told me.
It hurts.
So I am in the conundrum of throwing this watch in the trash and having no watch or just wearing a wannabe watch right now. It's crazy. Anyways.
You're stupid.
Invicta.
There are better things to worry about.
Invicta, y'all suck ass. Y'all have gotten me questions that I don't want.
Is that a Rolex? It says
that's the story of the watch. And yeah, I got a student teacher. That's pretty cool. Somebody thinks I'm worthy.
And so what do you salute to that? What are you going to do with her? You should make it really challenging for her to, like, do anything. No, you shouldn't. Don't be a dick.
No. So she actually already is challenged because it's my... It's my Integrated Math 3 SEI class.
Oh, okay. It's a challenging class.
Yeah. So she doesn't speak Spanish.
Ooh. So what's your coaching to her?
Well, so my coaching is, so we talk about front loading the vocabulary as well as the concepts before we get into the actual content, the curriculum, you know, the book.
Okay.
Because CPM is really rich with writing and vocabulary.
Okay.
Right? And then so a lot of it's almost like reading an actual, like a real book. It's not what a normal math text looks like. You know, where you have a section with... Go ahead. Give it to me.
Pause. Go ahead. Yeah. Fucking amazing. Good
so
story.
Those are our conversations. It's how do we make the connections with the vocabulary so that they understand what the problem wants from them.
Correct. That's an appropriate way.
Yeah. And so we stay about two...
How much are your kids talking?
Our kids are talking... Where you would normally do like notes, that's where our kids are talking.
So, like, here's the like in a percentage, how much of the class are they talking?
Maybe 30-40%.
So we realize that's not enough, right?
It's not enough, but I'm telling you about designated talking time. Like, I'm giving you a minute to talk about this strategy, and then we come back.
Is a minute enough?
I'm just talking about them talking amongst themselves.
Even then.
Before talking out loud to the class.
Yeah, that's fine. Because remember, like with especially with English learners, you want to provide a sheltered environment first. So talking to their partner and having them spend time talking to their partner is completely appropriate because they're going to make mistakes and it's better for them to make the mistakes with a partner than out in front of the group. So that 30-40% probably could be improved.
Right. But I just want to say that I am not including the time that they are talking in front of the class or the time that they are talking during their actual like work time, because they probably get about 30-35 minutes broken up where they're actually like just working on their own, whether it's by themselves or talking with their group, and they are conversing during that time.
So 30% is like structured time to talk.
Exactly. The structured time that I give them to talk about
with
one.
With frames or whatever.
Exactly. Exactly. And I don't do enough frames, like close notes. That's one thing that me and the student teacher have been talking about.
What did she say?
She doesn't really have experience with closed notes because she's never really taught an SEI class before. But I mean, she understands the concept of
it. And they're like, Mad Libs. And she goes, oh, yeah. I know what Mad Libs are. That's what closed notes are.
You think millennials know what Mad Libs are?
I don't know.
She's definitely a millennial. She's probably 24.
Okay.
You think they know what Mad Libs are, bro?
I don't know. You can use Mad Libs for just about anything.
Okay. They still have those little books and
they
shit?
They have those little books. If you go to Barnes & Noble, they still have bookstores?
One or two? One that I know of, one nearby?
Everything else is on Amazon. But yeah, that's a good strategy to use.
All right, piece of shit. Let's switch it up. Let's talk about your new gig. You went to Fresno.
New gig? I don't have a new gig. I just had a request to do some trainings. There's no new gig yet.
So my mom was a longtime administrator for San Diego Unified. She started the parent involvement program. But what was interesting is when she started talking about doing consulting, where she was making her own money with the training that she got through her district, she started getting, you know, requests to go do other trainings mm-hmm. in other districts. So I think you got a new gig, bro, because this was not a Sweetwater.
It was not.
It was not our district that sent you out there.
No. Someone requested for me to go out there to Fresno, which I'd never been. Shout out to the wonderful people of Fresno. If anybody needs the work more than anybody else, it's them. They need work. They need some work. You know what I mean? Lots of good people. Lots of we work with California Teaching Fellows out in Fresno. Shout out to Rico and Mike Snell.
Uh-huh.
But you know. They had like 900 people on a Saturday doing a training all about pedagogy. So in different areas.
Okay.
But you know, they want it. They're hungry for it, man. And so if we could try to put in some progressive type of concepts in there, like my workshop was about relationships through interactions, right? It's the same thing that I gave the instructional aids for
Sweetwater.
Uh-huh. And it was good, man. It was good. They loved it. You know what I mean? So that was my keynote. The workshop itself, though, or did I say it was a workshop?
You didn't tell us that you keynoted it. You told us it was a workshop.
So the keynote was on the relationships, and then the workshop was on reimagining how we support students in schools. So those are the two things.
And if you want to check out his I don't want to do it disrespect. It's a booklet. It's a workbook.
It's just a workbook. Like, you don't even
have
to check it out.
It's a manifesto.
It's not even that. So here's the reason what we did. So D and I have talked about this ad nauseum. So all of us have been to trainings, and they usually give us like whack-ass folders with different color fucking worksheets and
graphic organizers, busy graphic organizers,
and they're just too much, right? And so not only that, if it's not that, then it's just like a couple of loose leaf sheets of paper that are like here are the slides kind of thing stapled on the top left corner, right?
And yeah,
that's where you can document your notes. So what my older brother Diego and I have done for the last X amount of years has been really putting an emphasis on creating a workbook for every training that you do, right? And so it's a nice little way of documenting what's going on, but also like just wrapping it all up, putting in a nice little package so it's not all loose leaf, stuff like that. And so the feedback that we got from Fresno was that it's actually really, really nice to kind of have everything consolidated in one space, and there's space to write and all that stuff. It's not too much, you know, not too much to read, and it's definitely not too much to take down stuff. So what I provided was like some of the slide information, which is my slides are never really, they're just images and then like very few words.
Uh-huh.
But they're just, so what I did was I provided that stuff, just like the image. Ah! I felt it coming too.
Yo, if you want to check out a sample of the first booklet, can't they go on your website, your family website, aaronsibia.org?
Yes, aaronsibia.org, and then Rodrigo, and then there's like writing, speaking, coaching, and then I think there's another one that says resources.
Okay.
Piece of shit.
I'm trying to give you some shine. You over here putting me to sleep, motherfucker.
I know. I went into the meta. Don't listen to him.
How do you decide which words to make all big and bold?
It's all about the emphasis on the syllables.
Okay.
And so what's the most – if you were to strip away everything, what do you want to get out of it? That's what I
believe. Ooh, strip away everything. I'm very aroused.
I'm very aroused as well. Whenever I use the word strip away, I get kind of
– as you can guess, podcast listeners, we are doing this episode with our shirts off.
Off. And some of us have taco meat. Some of us don't. I'm a late bloomer or shaver, whatever.
So is that considered moonlighting the district? Could the district be mad at you for doing that?
I don't think so. I don't know.
I don't even give a fuck.
I mean, I took a personal day off. Or it's called in sick, and I did it on a Friday. I left and did it on a Saturday. So.
All right.
But those are my personal days, and those are my sick days, so fuck yourself with whatever I do with it.
Okay. All right, man. All right. No, that was dope. I was, I don't want to say proud because that sounds like a dad and shit, but
you're a piece of
it's
shit.
It's a real good look for you, bro, to get invited somewhere to do not only a keynote but a workshop.
And well, shout out to first of all, shout out to Rico Peralta over there, the teaching fellows. He's the one who hit me up. He's like, hey, you want to do this? And then Terry Gonzalez over in New Mexico was like, he did a workshop too. So and he helped co-present with me. And so we played a big game of not Simon Says, but Diego Says, the mythical dwarf Diego.
Your brother, Diego?
No, what the fuck? No, someone totally different. The mythical dwarf Diego.
Wait, what?
And so we play Diego Says, and we gave away $100 to the crowd, and it was cool. It was a good time. They had a really good time. I think we should segue into some Dilla.
Okay.
Dilla Day was 2 days ago.
Yeah, by the time you hear this, it'll probably be 4 days ago.
Ooh, like that?
Like that. I mean, I'll try to put it out tonight, but I got some things to do.
You got to edit it.
I got to edit it.
You got to edit some of it because I don't know. Anyway, anyways, ready? That's tight.
Sliced perfection.
And he was doing that all a la carte. There was no computer.
16 punch pads, all with different sounds.
Yep.
And he's just punching away. Happy J. Dilla Day.
Tight. Ready?
Super clean.
And actually, what was cool, you saw that there's something on the Facebook about how he didn't follow a traditional beat, like a traditional 4-1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, right? It was all kind of done differently.
Okay.
Peep it. Here's the original. I groove on the original, though. And so he has to have heard this and then gone, I fucking like that piece, and then snipped it all up.
This sounds so smooth, so connected, well put together. Beautiful and simple.
Right?
And then when your man cuts it into small pieces, and instead of going 1-2-3-4-5, goes 5-4-1-2,
yeah,
3-5-4-3-1-2, it sounds like the other one.
I wanna love you. Yeah. Mr. Biggs.
Over and over again. I wanna see.
Hashtag very aroused.
Hashtag very aroused. This is one of those very aroused moments. I'll play this getting out of the shower.
And then go ahead and take us back.
Don't say goodbye.
Educated Guest Podcast.
Here we go. Ready? He cuts it before it even. It's just tight.
You would not think it was the same song.
But you have the pieces that are like.
It's So what I think of is when I see a DJ take the same record and start quarter turning it, and then they'll slow down both of them and they'll just hit on the percussion, the bass, and they'll make a whole new beat from it.
Yeah. See, I think I showed you that. I played that Mellow D, DJ Mellow D, from the world famous Bee Junkies crew. Let me pull this up. He just fucking killed it.
Keep it funky. Educated Guest Podcast. Episode 28.
Ready? Peep this one. All right, here we go. Pause it real quick. Hit me. This is on DJ Melody's Instagram. For Dilla Day. Classic Dilla sample from Champion Sound.
Ooh, that's that stuff I'm talking about. Taking the same record, back, forth. Yep.
Turn it up. Y'all must be out of your head if your system ain't up to the red.
Just
that's
ill.
Pretty shit.
Ill.
That's
Melody be killing it. And then, you know, Beat Junkies came up with that Institute of Sound out in LA. I have to make it out there, but it's a whole academy for DJing, taught by real DJs.
Yep.
Not these EMD cats.
When I was younger and I was really, really, really into hip hop, and we was trying to get us not only a Zulu chapter out here, but a Rocksteady chapter, I had the pleasure of meeting up with DJ Rhett Matic. One of the Beat Junkies. And I want to say he posted on his Instagram them out at J Dilla's grave on J Dilla Day. They were real close to him. They were all real close to him. They worked with him. So a lot of love and a lot of power there. Happy J Dilla Day. And I say you're gonna have to play for them something that they may have heard.
Ooh.
Drop find a way, Tribe Called Quest. You may have heard this beat. You may not be the deepest hip hop fan, and this is J Dilla.
There you go.
There we go. There we go.
Messing me up my whole classic, head. Classic Dilla. Just like here we go. Did Martin. Now look at what you starting. Schoolboy crushing it. Ain't on the hush. The whole world see it. But you can't. My peoples, they complain, sitting, rave and rant. Come on. Your name is out my mouth like an ancient chant. Got me like a dog.
Speaking of which,
got a leash and a wish to make a militant move.
So,
my strategy.
Educated Guest Podcast on this lovely Friday, February 9th. Happy J Dilla Day.
Belated J Dilla Day.
Belated J Dilla Day. Stay funky with us as we keep it moving.
Is it? Wow. I'm trying to figure out. It's not selfish. Is it this one? Yes, it is. It's this one.
One, two.
It's another J Dilla beat. Classic J Dilla beat.
One, two.
From Slum Village.
Well, he was actually a member of the group.
Was he?
Yes, he was. As their producer. He was Slum Village.
He wasn't. He was the man?
Well, he was the producer.
This is their classic.
I'll give you another one. Running by Farside.
Oh, yeah. That's a Dilla beat?
That is a Dilla beat. Promise.
I promise.
Loving my music is like some sex
shit.
Niggas
trying
to whip up my mic like it's a deer. Run around the corner to pick up the new shit.
I'm searching the deck so niggas could catch rat.
Yeah.
Peep it. That's a good one. I have that sample. I do. Oh, look at you. Ready?
Classic.
You know what's funny?
It's probably
Andrew, or A-plus. That's the kind of shit that he would just, like, kind of really get upset with me about. Because there are some things that are super obscure that I would know.
Uh-huh.
But, like, that's something I should know.
You would know a lot of about original samples. It doesn't bother me that you don't know that J. Dilla was a member of Slum. It doesn't bother me. You're a little young.
No, I should know that. That's something I should know. You piece of shit. So,
fucking gonna, millennials.
Full disclosure, ready? Well, I'm gonna switch it up. I'm gonna switch it up big time.
Okay.
I got lifted the other day, right?
Uh-huh,
so
uh-huh.
You know, I went through my meditation and ran, and but before I set that off with, you know, some medicinal, right?
Okay.
And so oddly enough, I don't know why. I haven't heard this song probably since the day it was released.
Uh-huh.
But 94, I had to be like in the early 90s. I was exposed to various types of music, rock en español, alternative rock, you know, hip hop, obviously. This song. Do you even know who this fucking is?
If you were to tell me that this was Counting Crows, I would be...
Very disappointed. Very disappointed.
Is that who this is?
No, this is Jane's Addiction. Right? I don't know why the fuck the song popped into my head, and it took me into a very, very different space. And
oh.
Like, this is
all my weird. All my emo friends from junior high, all my Cure fans,
ooh,
they're going to be pissed at me for not knowing Jane's Addiction.
You should probably know Jane's Addiction, right?
Yeah.
Because, and I was sharing this with, what's his name?
I know the Cult. Okay? Don't get mad at me, guys. I know who the Cult is.
No, I was sharing this with, what's his face?
Who that?
Adrian Ruiz, who happens to be a good friend of ours. Didn't make it to the podcast, but it's all good. The second song, though, you gotta listen to the second song because he let the fucking dogs in. He let the fucking dogs in. Piece of shit. So you may or may not remember this song from MTV. Ready?
All right.
Do you remember this song from Jane's Addiction?
Yes, I remember both those songs. I just don't know that they're Jane's Addiction.
Okay.
I think my wife would know that too.
She probably would.
Funky.
But I think it's kind of interesting that I can have this on my playlist.
Uh-huh.
Or recently played, but then also have fucking...
At what time in the day is it appropriate to play that? Like, when do you get juiced off of that? Not for real,
know.
Though.
For real, though? I don't even know. You know, like, you had to be high.
Getting out of the shower? Getting out of the shower?
No, that's not... See, that's
going to work?
That's reserved for Ron Isley, bro. I can't be listening to that. But I did hear this one.
You listen to this when you're going to work? Get hyped up?
Nah.
Nah?
It's fascinating that you have this, though. Give
you what you need. What?
Like, how is it... How do these coexist?
Oh, you're praising yourself for your eclectic taste in
not
music?
Even. I'm just wondering, how is it possible that I enjoy both that and this? I'm fascinated by it.
Nah, I got you. You've been singing this all day. This is your juice. Is this how we're going to go out or what?
It might be.
Educated Guest Podcast.
Stick and move.
Yeah. Shout out to all the teachers of the year at our different school sites in Sweetwater. Educated Guest Podcast interviewee and champion, Jerry Widor.
That's right. The man, teacher, the myth, the legend. You guys finally got Teacher of the Year?
Teacher of the Year, yeah.
So, is this his first one?
I want to say yes, and I think he's got a really good chance to win the whole district.
You know what? I'm gonna say that's educated guess karma. That's karma.
We gonna blow him up. We gonna hit him up all on the social media.
On the socials, right? So check out episode blah blah blah.
So the upper echelon of our district sees him, hears him.
They don't listen to our podcast.
Look, bro, if a board member is a friend of the podcast,
hashtag Nikki Sex.
If I got in trouble for tweeting about our broken internet during the workday, then somebody at the office is listening to our podcast. Because Nikki Sags ain't no snitch. He wouldn't be telling on me.
That's word
is bond. All right. Hashtag friend of the podcast. Woo. Shout out to my boy Omar. Mercado at Southwest High School. He is also the winner of a Teacher of the Year. District loves him. Our assistant soup of culture and climate and equity loves Omar Mercado.
Oh, word?
Word. So he also is a front runner. Both gentlemen are San Diego State alums.
Okay.
Not mean. So.
Feeling it.
And not that we're not blowing up or shouting out any of the other winners. We just don't know you.
So you can't be considered friend of the podcast.
Nah, not yet. We'd love for you to hit us up on them Twitters and get an interview or a little bit of time with us.
What else? Anything else?
Nah, man. I think that's good for a Friday ep. I appreciate you meeting up with me on the random. We're going to try to get more episodes out to the people, are we not?
I think so. I think this is the first one where we might just put on the interviews for a little hold and just start cranking away, talking shit. It's time to get back at it.
You need to bone up on your local politics so that we can talk more than just BLOTUS and this terrible administration, so that we can talk some local stuff.
You're my local guy, though. So how about you provide it for me on the podcast and I'll give you what my feelings are.
Okay, so the next one, we're going to deal with medical cannabis in Chula Vista.
I am a firm believer in that shit. It works. Quality of life, fam. Quality of life. That's it. You heard it here first. And we said it last time. We said it the last episode. Unofficial sponsor of the Educated Guest podcast is Southwest Patient Group in San Ysidro. Legit. Official, like a referee with a whistle.
Hashtag tell me more.
You got to head out there. It's
San Ysidro Boulevard near the 7-Eleven.
That's right. That's right there. Yeah. But I think it's more like Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory than it is a dispensary.
Ooh, the Reuben H. Fleet Science and Space Center.
That's what it is.
For marijuana.
My mans, they have manipulatives for you to learn about the different cannabinoids. It's fucking badass.
Algebra tiles, but for weed DNA.
That's it.
Right?
That's it. And you can learn everything there is to know about what cannabis does to your body and how much better it is for you than any other vice. We'll say that.
All right. So we're going to save it for the next episode where we will definitely pump that information out to you.
Hold on. That may be funky.
All right.
Peace.
And we out.
God.